So this is a briefing on what took place on Sunday, November 1st, where a CHP officer was wounded in the line of duty and ultimately wound up having a gunfight where a suspect succumbed to his injuries. Let me first take a couple of seconds and introduce some people that are here for this. And of course, I left the top sheet, so I think I'm pretty good here. First of all, we have Assistant Chief Scott Gilwater from the California Highway Patrol. Scott is responsible for this entire sector and has many CHP officers and commands under him. So Scott, thank you for driving over. Next to him is Brett Fabry. He's the commanding officer of Humboldt County, acting captain right now. And he's responsible for the local CHP office as well as Garberville. Next to him, of course, is the well-known and highly vaunted sheriff of Humboldt County, Mike Downey.
Thank you.
And then Steve Watson, a captain for Eureka Police Department. And then, not to be last, but Billy Ponsel, who was trying to hide in the back, the undersheriff, and we've asked him to come up. I'm going to do a couple things here. One is we're going to give you an overview of the incident, including the timeline, which I've just distributed to you. Since there are so many, if seconds count and there are so many different seconds, I didn't want to try to do that from memory. So we distributed that to you, as well as the name and specific information of the officer, as well as the person who was attacked, the officer. And then lastly, we'll give you the next steps of the investigation and where we go from here. You know, as we grow up, each of us looks for heroes. People that we can respect and model our behavior after. Not in the manner of which we worship someone for some abstract reason, but we look at that, we respect their actions, we appreciate their behaviors, and we think to ourselves, what would I do in this situation? Thousands of CHP officers all across the state, and hundreds of thousands of local police officers throughout the nation place their lives on the line daily and wind up in very precarious situations. Mostly we come out on top, sometimes we don't. But based on the video that I saw, based on the actions that I learned that took place here, Stephen Curtis, a CHP officer of 13 years, is a hero. Here's what unfolded on November 1st. At about 4:15 p.m., Officer Curtis attempted to stop an older model green two-door Chevy sedan as the vehicle entered the city southbound over the Smoore Bridge. Citizens had reported that this vehicle was driving at a high rate of speed, passing at a double yellow line, forcing people off the road, and he took action to stop the vehicle. When he stopped the vehicle at the corner of 4th and Q, he recognized there were five occupants in the car. The green sedan, which had just come to a stop, rested on the curb line. Officer Curtis walked up and contacted Killian Shane O'Quinn. After talking to the driver at the door, after some routine questioning related to the reason for the stop, the officer directed O'Quinn to step out of the vehicle. This is fairly routine for police work when you're not sure what's going on and you want to delve deeper into this investigation. O'Quinn pivoted towards the door, put his feet on the ground, and mumbled something to the effect of, "I'm about to have a very bad day." Quinn hesitated and was told by the officer 2 to 3 more times before he complied. Quinn exited the car, and as the officer reached for him, Quinn produced a handgun from his waistband. One of the things we learned is that several people in the car knew he had the gun. A struggle ensued, and over the gun, as Quinn attempted to cycle the slide in the chamber around. Quinn broke away from the officer's grip, reached around his body, and fired a round, striking the officer in the upper thigh hip region. The officer simultaneously, while fighting for the gun, drew his weapon, firing multiple rounds, striking Quinn. Quinn. The exchange of gunfire between the two lasted for several seconds, according to the video. Even after down on the ground, the suspect held the gun in the air and continued to try to cycle the slide to chamber another round. You can hear the officer, now wounded, clearly giving orders to people in the car to put their hands in the air and stay in the car. I cannot describe the discipline that it takes to hold your fire when you are vastly outnumbered and possibly outgunned. You know, we don't know Quinn's motivation at this point. There's a lot of rumors and people saying that maybe he wanted to die. We don't know that. All we know is that he fired a gun at a CHP officer. The officer returned fire, and Quinn succumbed to his injuries. The CHP officer has recovered enough to leave the hospital and has been going through several things with the California Highway Patrol. Before we take questions, I just want to comment on this for a second. We don't know where that gun came from. But here's a 20-year-old man with a firearm he couldn't find. We have photos that you can see of him on Facebook with a gun in his waistband. A gun that ultimately cost him his life. Today, in Stanislaus County, in Stanislaus, Cal State
Stanislaus,
and San Diego, we had two different fluid situations. We had an active shooter who had to be rooted out. We in our country have to get serious about gun violence. This is an officer safety issue. More importantly, it's a community issue. And I understand the need of the Second Amendment. I understand the need for people to believe they have guns, to have guns. But I also believe that we have such a serious problem that it almost cost a fine officer his life. And it did cost a young man his life. So, having said that, the next stage of the investigation is we will continue moving forward based on the information that we have. The autopsy was today at 1 o'clock. And from this point forward, the detectives will compile all the information, brief me and the CHP again, probably in another week. And then after that, probably within 90 days, it'll be moved to the district attorney for review to make sure that it was within the law. And she will opine on that at her leisure. So having said that, Chief, would you like to make a couple comments?
Thank you, Chief Mills. I really appreciate your timeline and the way that you portrayed the officer. That is not something that any officer in any city or county, state that wants to have to go through. And the way you portrayed it, I think that's really going to help in his healing to know that he has the support of you, Sheriff Protocol Team. I want to thank you guys for the way that you responded and impartiality on the investigation and I'd also like to thank the community. There's been a lot of outpouring for the officer, and for on behalf of Highway Patrol family, really appreciate that, because that really does help the healing process. And this is a good man, and we want to be able to have him back out on pulling our roads as soon as possible. Your actions will make a difference in doing that, so we thank you for that.
Terry Lyles is the detective in charge of this investigation. And I just want to mention a couple other things. One that you brought up is we did activate our critical incident response team. And officers from multiple agencies were here, including the Sheriff's Department, Fortuna, District Attorney's Office, Eureka Police Department, and Arcata also responded as far as the initial response at Humboldt State University. Particularly want to thank Sheriff and Sheriff Hansel for bringing out your command van and loading us your officers. That was very helpful on a rainy night to give shelter to those that do it now. We will answer some questions. You know, some of the information we just don't know yet, and I'm not going to speculate on information we don't have nailed down. And so if you have questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time. Of course.
It says that Mr. O'Quinn didn't have a local criminal history. Is there any indication he was a local resident?
Mr. O'Quinn was a local resident, not in Eureka, but close by. He did not have a local criminal history, although he did have one out-of-state arrest that was made.
Officer expected to make full recovery?
Maybe you'd like to address that, Scott.
I'm going to let Brett speak.
Yeah, the officer's doing well today. I've seen him most every day, and it appears that he'll make a full recovery. He's doing pretty well, thanks.
A follow-up to that, please. Which leg struck? What was he struck?
He was struck in the upper right thigh.
Upper right thigh, thank you.
How many times was Mr. O'Quinn hit in his body, and where was he hit?
I can tell you that he was hit multiple times, some in the upper body, but I cannot tell you beyond that. They're doing the autopsy today.
Okay. Do you have ballistics on the bullets, either that struck Mr. O'Quinn or the officer?
Well, we will eventually, but at this point, we don't have all that. This investigation is still pretty fresh.
Can you tell me the caliber of the officer's weapon?
40 caliber Smith & Wesson.
And I believe the suspect's weapon was a 45 caliber Springfield.
Springfield XD.
XD?
E as in Edward, or D as in David?
X-ray, D as in David.
What's the size of the people who were in the vehicle?
They were detained, they were interviewed, and then they were released. They were not involved in the perpetration of this crime that we can tell at this point.
Were they armed at all?
They were not armed. In fact, my understanding is at one point he was driving so recklessly, somebody in the back seat threw money over the top and said, "Please slow down. I'll pay you to slow down." And,
what was the nature of the relationship between the vehicle's occupants and Mr. O'Quinn?
You know, we're still exploring that. They're fairly new acquaintances.
Okay.
Are the others all local?
Variety, I think it's local and not local. There was a mixture of people in the car. If I'm wrong on this, Detective Sergeant or Captain, please correct me.
Were any of them minors? The other four?
No.
No.
Does he have a known history of mental illness?
Not that we're aware of at this point.
Is suicide by cop being considered a potential motive?
Well, we'll look at all motivations as part of that. You know, certainly that would be one we would explore. We'll wait for the toxicology report to come back to see what level of intoxication there was, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or other things. All that will play into it. We just don't have those facts at this point.
Has Mr. O'Quinn's handgun registered?
We don't know where that gun came from. or how he got that gun. He's 20 years old, so we don't know whether it was a straw purchase, out-of-state purchase, stolen, or we just don't know yet.
I mean, did it show up in databases and stuff? That was, I mean,
well, ATF will run an e-trace on it at some point, but it does not show up in the NCIC database as a stolen gun, although some people don't report their guns as stolen, as crazy as that may seem.
How long have you owned that car?
I don't know.
Was it registered to him?
I'm not sure. The investigator would have that. I just don't have it in front of me.
How many witnesses were interviewed the day that it happened?
Thank you for bringing that up. Well, certainly the four in the car were interviewed, as well as all the police officers that were there afterward. But we do know that there were other people walking by who saw this event, and we would really like for them to come forward and be interviewed by the detectives. So they may call the police department at just the general number and to be interviewed, reference this incident. And so we can get their perspective, find out where they were, what they saw, what they heard, and so forth. We know at least two other people who have been interviewed by local media that we have not talked to. And so we just want to nail down who they are and where they were.
You referenced a video. Is that a dash cam video from the officer patrol car?
It is.
Was there other video of the incident? Or is that
not that we're aware of. We don't know that one person was taking photographs that we've seen on Lost Coast Outpost, but I don't know that there is video on that.
Did any of the stray bullets strike residences in the area or businesses?
You know, I haven't looked at the crime scene diagrams to know where those projectiles ended, but I don't believe so at this point. And that's why we had such a big roped off crime scenes to try to figure out where those projectiles might have gone and collect the evidence. Okay, we'll call it a day on this. We'll be around for a few minutes. If you have any questions of us, then we'll all be here for a few seconds.
Is this a few seconds over yet?
Thank you.